Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buckets. Mm-hmm. That's the name of my boat. Buckets.
Buckets. Buckets. What we get.
Not the only transfer we got from Florida. Buckets. Keith Stone, too. Remember that.
Everybody who watches his show on a regular basis knows my love of the stretch four.
You know, we all make mistakes. He might have made one going to town.
It's mercy if y'all don't know. It's mercy if y'all don't know.
Dribble to the left, cross over to the right. Hurricane to the game, many buckets for the night. Matt with the pick and roll, Melissa with the give and go. This Shelly, you hoodie girl, dunk it in the hole. Check the scoreboard, this what we fall for. Peep the gameplay, they want an encore. Yeah, over time for another round. It's buckets after buckets, baby. You out of town. It's buckets. What it is, homie? It's buckets. Woo! We get buckets. Yeah, baby. Buckets. Buckets.
I have no shame.
I know. That's the problem.
You guys are awesome.
All right, well, I guess let's start with, so yesterday we talked through...
A little backstory, Vish. I'm literally taking off my boot right now.
I can hear it, as can everyone.
I know,
as can the 83 people are actually apparently live viewing this.
No way.
Five off the YouTube channel, 36 off my Twitter, 42 off the Buckets Twitter.
Oh, wow.
I just realized you can hover and get a breakdown of who's watching it from where. So yes, they're hearing you take your leg.
Yeah, sorry guys, gotta Anyways. Do it if we're gonna get into this. So
yeah, so I guess since Melissa and I talked about everyone other than Ja'Kai yesterday, so why don't we start there, get your take on so I guess we'll start with the dynamic duo of Casey and Watson, which I think we knew were gonna go in.
There's guys that I mean, Casey, Watson, we knew we're gonna hit the portal, right? I think we were basically close to 100% or as close to 100% as you can get in terms of sure that they were leaving. Ja'Kai was the one that we were kind of unsure just because, you know, is he okay with not really getting a lot of playing time playing here? But I mean, I don't think it's surprising. You know, he obviously wants an expanded role somewhere else. But I think the one that was more surprising was actually Mike Nwoko, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So the other ones we haven't mentioned are Bensley
and Mike Nwoko.
Bensley,
we kind of had talked about, like, well, if he wants to, you know, start somewhere, we're not really sure if this is the place because, I mean, we have Jahlil Bethea who's coming in.
There was no way he's starting
day one.
And I think all indications out of all the players that are still on the team, which isn't that many, to be honest, Nigel's probably the Nigel is probably the most solid looking like he'll be here. And obviously Jahlil's going to start there. It wasn't really a starting role. The other thing with Bensley, you know, he is from the Northeast. There's a lot of basketball schools up there, so he can kind of go to that area.
And we talked about it in the chat too. Like St. John's was the team that had kind of reached out to him, and I mean, that makes perfect sense. I think that he's someone that can start at a school like St. John's. You know, it's a great opportunity for him. But I mean, going back to Nwoko, I was surprised by that. I don't want to speak to, you know, what went into his decision. I can only speculate. And I think he probably felt like he could be playing more. Think he could be playing more at a smaller mid-major to – what were you going to say?
Well, I would say in his defense, he's unable to watch himself play, so he might come to that conclusion. But anyone that watched him play – probably should be playing less.
Yeah,
I mean, well, to be honest, he was not good.
He played out of necessity, right? Like,
right.
I mean, AJ Casey, it wasn't working with him at the five, so we had to try Nwoko. I mean, we've talked about it several times. Coach L had to work with him to show him where to be on the floor. Very raw. You know, I saw him as a guy that maybe got a few minutes in games this year due to like injuries or foul trouble. I didn't see him as the backup big coming off the bench, you know, as like the seventh guy or in the rotation. Definitely thought he was someone that like had a chance to start maybe in his third year or so. But,
and that's even a question mark. I mean, he was a long way away.
Yeah, he's very raw, but I think he has the body type, the athleticism. It's just, you know, he has to develop in some areas. There's some guys that are like that. And I think, you know, just like I think he's a better player than Favor Air for sure. But I mean, you look at someone like that who transferred to Penn State, is transferring again because he didn't really get a chance to play. You know, if depending on where he goes, we're going to kind of get a vibe of what he was looking for is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be, you know, surprised if he has a similar path because he is very raw. Like you said, I think he's a little bit better than Favor Air, but not that much. I mean, his skill was the same, which is he's tall. Like he's lost on the court. I think
he's more mobile. He was more mobile, and I think he was a little bit better of a finisher. Like he had more of a soft finish, and Favor Air could not.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. But I mean, they're basically the only reason either of them ever got any minutes here is because they're tall.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see where he lands. Like you said, what was he looking for?
Yeah, and that's what we'll.
But I guess, you know, on the flip side of that, right? Like if Norchad's actually, we obviously don't know about Nigel, Norchad, Wuga, Keyshawn, and Cleveland. I'm assuming Joe Bay. Yeah, Cleveland, and I'm assuming Joe Bay is coming back. But those are the six guys that are currently on the team. Hard to say, you know, if you got some kind of indication that Norchad's coming back, then there's really not a lot of minutes for him. Not just is he the backup, but he's also, you know, limited minutes. Especially if we get a quality four, because we didn't really have one. So we got some minutes next to Norchad. Like if you actually have a good, I mean, the reason that AJ Casey didn't play last year at all, basically, unless someone got foul trouble, is because Jordan Miller could play the five. And so there's like an Anthony Walker could a little bit where he would be the big on the court sometimes. So you really didn't have to go to those guys. We didn't have those options this year. So Nwoko got more minutes than they should have. But I mean, you're looking at the guys that dropped off, like you mentioned Favor Arrows in the portal again. So is Jovanovic.
And Osterbrook, if you want to count him. But
I mean, he wasn't even on scholarship at Miami, was he?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different situation. But yeah, Jovanovic and Favor Air, like we don't know what their long-term future is, but I think a lot of these kids underestimate the necessity of stability to develop. If you're not at that top level, which none of these guys are, you're going to need like, you know, consistent coaching to actually get better. And if you're just jumping school to school, that's not going to
happen. Yeah, well, you're adjusting to systems, you're adjusting to new culture. You're adjusting, I mean, just from the, I mean, a basketball standpoint, then you're adjusting to new life in a different place. Like it's a lot to take on and it's hard to improve.
And also a lot of these guys, again, they're marginal E5 talents. They're not like slam dunk. This guy should be at, you know, an ACC school. And then, you know, Jovanovic went to another ACC school. Favor went to a Big Ten school. They're not necessarily even really good enough to play on. They're kind of borderline. And so it's like, you're going to do that and then transfer. Well,
the other thing too, that I think is so like strange to me is like people are quick to, you know, I get losing Nwoko, like, you know, it sucks to lose guys. Right. But people are so quick to reference like, oh, he was a four-star top 15 center. And it's like, well, I mean, not to shit on any individual player, but I mean, Ja'Kai was like the highest rated recruit out of his class that we recruited. He was like top, I think he was like top 50. And I mean,
yeah, I think one of the things that
you just don't know how these guys are going to develop. Like,
yeah, that's definitely the case. I also think, you know, we still, as a fan base, we are a football school. We have a football mindset. Mm-hmm. Top 15 center is not that great.
Yeah.
There is a vast difference. If you're a top spot, like top, like someone like Jaleel, that is program changing, game changing talent. Dropping down even a little bit from there, you drops off a cliff.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize that
20 recruits are like, depending on the year, obviously.
Like in football, if you get like a top 20 player at his position, that's a 3-year starter, you're sure. Basketball, that guy might be the worst player on your team. Mm-hmm. So I think people don't, again, we have so many football fans that it's good they're coming over to basketball now. The fan base is growing, but it's a totally different. You need to be hitting like the best player of his position, the second best player of his position. Otherwise, it's much more of a crapshoot. Obviously, evaluations aren't perfect to begin with, but there are certain talents like Jaleel, like Lonnie Walker, you know that guy's the guy. You know he's one and done, and you know he's like that elite level of talent. And then once you drop out of that, it's a much more of a crapshoot. When you start getting into that's a top 50 recruit, that's not anything guaranteed. Anything guaranteed in terms of talent. So yeah, a lot of them don't work out, especially if it's not a good fit for them. Those ones need to be in the right situation to succeed. And I think people need to understand that getting a top 5 recruit versus a top 20 recruit is a huge difference in basketball.
Yeah, no, it's true. Very much true. And I mean, we very well could see, you know, maybe I'm trying to think of how many guys would be on roster. We could see like a mass exodus of guys leaving. And I think people should be prepared for that. We could have, because right now we have what, 5 guys in the portal. We very well could have.
Well, I mean, let's talk about it. I feel good about Nigel staying.
I think,
and I feel good about Joe Bay staying. Everyone else might be gone. Just be like, when you say be
prepared. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
There could be 2 guys on the team in like a month. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to obviously have incoming portal players as well. We have 3 recruits that are signed. They're not going anywhere. They're coming. Mm-hmm. So that's 5 players. So yeah, so then you go to the portal, get basically replace what you lost. Keeping in mind, we have 3 really good freshmen coming in. And one of them is elite. And then 2 other really good guys you're hoping will be in the rotation. So, you know, we were light on players this year. So you don't, but you don't necessarily need to. 1-to-1 if we lose what 8 guys to either the portal or the NBA, you don't necessarily need to turn around and get 8 in because we have 3 signed and locked in already.
Yeah.
And so it's really
to replace the guys that were major contributors, right? That's what.
Right. And I do think we'll see a little bit of a shift in approach this year from how we attack the portal. Depends on who's here still. But I think, you know, listening to Coach Hell's press conference, you know, we went after a lot of kind of star players. And I think we might see us attacking more role players, more depth, more team players to supplement, hopefully, Nigel, Jaleel, and hopefully Norchad as well. If you have those 3, you don't need another, like, oh, another guy that's good with the ball. You need role players that have 3 and D and do that kind of stuff.
I think, too, like, I think that we're a lot more active than we were, obviously. Well, I mean, we're still playing games and stuff, obviously. But I mean, there's 4 or 5 guys that we've already been in contact with who I can start breaking them down if you would like.
Well, I think there's 1 Melissa wanted to discuss. We'll probably do another show where we go into more depth. But if you want to
I have 3 of them that I wrote down about.
All right, if you want to go for all 3 of them, we'll start with is it Michael or Mikel?
I think it's Mikel, but I'm going to go with him last.
Okay. All right. Where's your order?
One of them is Trey Dinkins. He's a transfer from Canisius. Canisius? Is that how you say it?
Canisius.
That's how you say it? Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, we played them in baseball in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So he has 1 year of eligibility. He was third team all MAC. He's like a 6'2", more of a point guard. But he's definitely a guy that looks to create for himself. Initially, 41% field goal percentage, 35 from three. He was really, I mean, he was on a really bad team, so he was kind of looked at to kind of produce more offense. Kind of like, remember L. Ellis for Louisville?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how his numbers, they didn't look super efficient. I think that his numbers could improve, you know, like on a better team. But he's definitely a guy that can create space for himself and whatnot. I don't know if it's necessarily a Nigel replacement, just based on the other schools interested. I could see him being, you know, a guard kind of coming off the bench, but playing like, you know, a significant, you know, amount of minutes, kind of like what Bensley did and whatnot. But he's really good in ball screen action. If, you know, Norchad is still here, I think he could be, could play really well next to him. But he's also a really, really good shooter off the catch. But yeah, and he has a really good, finishing too at the rim for his size. So I think he's a good player. I don't know if I would want him to be our point guard. Nigel leaves, that's our point guard. I don't know.
Well, what if he doesn't? Where does he fit then? Because he's, I mean, is he just not?
I think of him as like first guy off the bench.
You think that's a, I mean, that's, and that's what I was thinking as you're describing him.
Yeah.
Role acceptance might be an issue.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to look at the teams. Like, I don't know how many opportunities he has at other major programs.
Right.
I saw a list of the other of the other programs, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. I mean, you have to look at, you know, the conference he plays in and whatnot. It's not the most competitive and whatnot. So I think it's possible if you sell him on, you know, hey, you're going to be playing this many minutes and you might have opportunities to start because of, you know, you never know with injuries or whatnot, you know. But, yeah. Other one is big man from Drexel, Amari Williams, 6'10". Yeah, sell him on the Benz roll. There you go. he announced for the draft and he entered the portal. Miami reached out to him. He's won the conference defensive player of the year 3 years in a row. He's more of like a traditional back to the basket big. He's got some soft touch. He's pretty mobile for his size and whatnot. But I mean, just for him, it's like he announced for the draft. So you kind of got to see what's going to happen with that. He's in the portal. He's going to have other schools reaching out to him. He's one of the, you know, highest regarded transfers in the portal right now. And to be honest, I don't know how I'd like, if Norchad is still here, I don't know how I like the fit. It could be more of a Norchad replacement. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I like him playing next to Norchad though.
He's actually probably only gettable if Norchad's gone, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's what I think. I see him more as like a Norchad replacement,
which is also, you know, why it makes sense to make contact now. You can kind of wait out the draft process there because we might be waiting out Norchad as well.
Yeah, it makes sense. But let's get into why everyone came here.
I mean, yeah, you sat through 2 hours of show to get to
Mikel Brown Jones.
Brown, no relation to Melissa.
6'8", power forward from UNCG. Played in the Southern Conference. Solid mid-major league. They beat Arkansas in non-conference. He had 17 that game. 19 points per game, 8 rebounds, 54% field goal percentage, and 43% from three. I really like his offensive game, super balanced. Yes, he can shoot the three, but I think too, he reminds me of like Jordan Miller, especially in that first year, like in terms of like, he knows how to position himself, not in terms of like posting up, but like sealing defenders, you know, to get easy looks inside. He knows when to cut. He's really good on pick and pop situations, and just pick and roll situations in general. He can put the ball on the floor. Super efficient offensive player. So in his the conference he plays in, he's top 10 in offensive rating, effective field goal percentage, true shooting percentage, offensive rebounding percentage, defensive rebounding possession, 3-point percentage, and free throw percentage. He does play defense too. Pretty solid defender. Kind of reminds me of Jordan, of the, like, he knows where to be on the floor and whatnot. He's, you know, there's not going to be any lack of engagement issues, at least from what I saw. Top 20 in conference in steal percentage, block percentage, and turnover percentage. So, you know, he can make smart decisions. I think that he's probably the best fit next to Norchad, but I also think he's like a must get too, even if we don't get Norchad. I think that he's a guy that you go out and get no matter what, because we don't really have, you know, someone that can play that position right now on our team. And I think no matter what, we think Nigel's most likely coming back. We know Jaleel's going to be here. I think he's a guy that can really excel playing next to those guys.
So do you see him all the little things as more as a stretch four, or as like more of a three?
No, I think he's a four, just because of his rebounding ability, the physicality that he plays with. I mean, he's 6'8", but he's not like, he's not scrawny. He's like, I'm going to look up his weight now. That's the only thing I didn't have. I have his social security number. I have his 6'8", 220.
Yeah, no, and I would say in order of likeliest to leave at this point, it would be, you know, we do have wings, but Keyshawn, Wuga, and Matthews' futures are very much in doubt. So, like you said, the chances of all of them coming back is basically zero. So,
And I think all it takes is one of them not coming back, and he would.
Right.
I think he would still start.
Yeah,
I think he would start no matter what. But, I think he would be a great player for us. But I think too, like, I mean, he was the best player on his team, but he did all the little things. You see him fighting for offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, rotating on defense. I really like him as a player. I think he would fit well for us.
Yeah, and I think that's what we were talking about as we intro this segment, right? Looking less at guys that are superstars and more at guys that I can plug this guy and they can do a role. They'll high IQ, help the team win. I mean, and he might be back still, but, you know, for all of Matthew Cleveland's super talented, you know, he needs the ball and you need to run offense through him for him to use his talent. And that means you're not running it through Nigel. You're not running it through Norchad. That's not necessarily a good thing for us. And he tried to play the role player role. Remember, we were spent a lot of the year like, why isn't he being more aggressive? Why isn't he tried to be the role player that the team needed him to be? It's just not a good fit for him. And also playing out of position, there's a lot of stuff going on there. But I do think, based on some of what Coach Ellis said, you know, his press conference, I do think we are targeting more. All right, how's this guy fit? What role do we have defined for them? Because I don't know that we necessarily went after a lot of big fish. We landed one in the portal last year, but it was a lot of who's the most talented guy versus who's the right fit on this team. And I think you saw. Yeah. I think we suffered from that. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we also reached out to another guy by the name of Brandon Johnson. He's like a stretch four. I haven't really watched any film on him yet. And I mean, there's a lot of guys in the portal now. There's a lot of big men.
I just wonder. So, I guess
until we know what happens with Norchad, I feel like we're not
right. And really... that was my thinking. Like, what are we gonna? So it's such a difficult position. I mean, And his decision might be drawn out quite a bit because he's basically got the three options. I can come back. He can enter the draft and actually, I guess it's four options. He can enter the draft and stay in the draft. He can enter the draft and come back. Or he could transfer, you know, go to the portal. But for him, you know, one of the factors, like the high end, if you're on a big program putting up double doubles in the ACC, it becomes a money chase. And so that makes it complicated. So it's not just a matter of right fit. It'll also be, where, you know, got to talk to his agent, got to get the financials squared away. Like there's a lot of complexity with all of those options. Whereas guys like Ja'Kai are just, if they want to leave, they'll just go in the portal. They don't really. And so that decision, I would be surprised if it doesn't drag a bit, unless he just says, I'm coming back. You know, that's the only thing that would be quick. If it's 100% sure, it doesn't mean he's not coming back. If it drags, it's just that it's almost necessarily going to, he'd be stupid not to explore his options.
Yeah. The other thing too is that I wanted to mention is there's a 2024 recruit, Connie Ruths, who he decommitted from Michigan after Michigan fired Chris.
Howard. I did see that.
I almost said Chris Weber, but Juwan Howard.
Getting your fives mixed up.
From IMG Academy. He was someone. Oh, look who's here.
Sort of.
Oh, do I need to put a light on?
Man, we got better? the lighting there king queen here.
I was just about to talk about Connie Roos.
Who?
The recruit
commit that decommitted after Juwan Howard got fired.
Yeah, he was supposed to visit Miami.
Oh, that's right.
Back in the past, but kind of fell through. I think it was because we ended up signing Isaiah Johnson or something. We signed someone, and so I think we just didn't really have the spot, so it just didn't work out. But I think that's someone that they could look at too. I mean,
I wanted to ask you about the Rutgers center.
Did you guys mention him? No, there's a lot of rumblings that he already has like a destination he's going to. It's like one of those back channel like NIL things.
Which is, by the way, how NorChad, if you were to leave, that would happen. They'd arrange all the financials and then he'd 100%. Go in the portal. And...
Yeah. No, but there's like that Stanford Center was someone that I think actually Jackson sent. The Stanford Center that entered the portal. And then was it Josh Cohen that we talked about in the chat? Yeah. Was that his name? Yeah. I like him too. But I think those are both guys I feel like you have to look at if Norchad's gone. I think Cohen has like a really diverse skill set. Actually, so does the Stanford center. I cannot remember his name, but he kind of can shoot the three as well, but it's not like the main part of his game. So, but yeah.
That's right. Maxime Reno.
Yeah.
Okay.
Has anyone ever streamed and drove at the same time?
Jazz has streamed going through a Taco Bell drive-thru.
Dang,
driving through Miami in the middle of the night.
I can actually know because you drive. I can see landmarks in the background. I know exactly where you are. So.
There's like this truck that's like sweeping the curbs or something.
Yeah, that's how they clean the streets.
I've never seen that before.
Street sweeping.
I didn't realize they did that in Miami.
Yeah, otherwise there'd be crap all over the ground. Like, it gets dirty.
Also, you know where I am because you know where I live and I, like, work.
No, but I can see landmarks behind. That's why I was, like, in the background. Yeah. I guess. Anyway.
I love how I checked into the show, like, right as you guys were starting to talk about Long Beach. So I was like, oh, let me get on there real quick.
I should have wore a Long Beach shirt. I just realized that. Like, I so poorly planned this.
Your boy was too. I mean,
oh man, I need to find.
Were both of your friends Long Beach grads or?
No, one went to St. Mary's and one went. Well, so one of them, he played college basketball and he went to two different schools, Vanguard and Concordia.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the other one went to St. Mary's. So yeah.
Oh, you missed the Max moment there.
What happened?
Oh, I forgot to ask them about the chicken sandwich. I genuinely don't know.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we forgot to ask. But also, we can't do that without. They wouldn't count.
I think it needs to be asked, though, when I'm on. I don't know.
That's
what
I said. I was
just to ask, like, not.
It wasn't going to go on the board anyway.
Well, ask them. Just ask them outside of this or whatever, and we can discuss it on the next show.
Yeah, no, only the OG pod. Those ones are not going on the board. It needs to be like our actual guest, like basketball guests, like Kane's guests.
Yeah, like when we have the OGs on, are we doing that? I'm not.
We can ask. They're not. It doesn't go on the board, and this one wouldn't be either.
Yeah,
no, I wouldn't.
No, it's got to be like our actual.
I got to get a new board, though, because my board is outgrowing the list.
Oh, Matt.
Unless I don't do quotes anymore.
Matt,
yeah.
The Tim James cards are right there.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
This showed me those. Those are so sick. Are we still live?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we are. Oh.
In my own little world. We get into these conversations at the end of the night, and I forget if we like still on or not.
No, we're still live. We're wrapping up with some Kane's coverage.
Have a live answer. Tommy said Popeyes. I am shocked that he said. I thought he was going to say Chick-fil-A. Okay, Brendan said Chick-fil-A.
Oh, so one and one.
So, but Brendan is very analytical with his answer. He said Chick-fil-A only because they're more consistent. And theirs being good, Popeyes has the higher ceiling, though.
That's exactly what I said, actually. See, Popeyes, you have no idea what's going on. Chick-fil-A, you know exactly what you're getting. Popeyes, you have no idea.
Didn't Nate say that, too, in the chat once?
He might have. That was my analysis, actually. But on average, Popeyes will come out way ahead. You just occasionally will get something like, what the F is this? Anyway. We got anything else?
I think that's it. We talked about
that. I just pulled into my parking garage. You guys kept me company on my 3-minute drive home.
There we go.
Well, now you get to do the.
I told Vish not to end the stream. I was texting him that I was leaving. I'm like, wait, don't end the stream so I can end it. I tried to end it. I don't know if you saw the end of the show last night where we had like 20 endings because I was finishing a statement and then I said cue the Sox outro, but I guess I didn't get it out enough. Vish didn't think I was wasn't prepared.
Okay, so Matt can now see behind the scenes all the crap I'm doing during the show. Like I have to click to another menu to get the outro. She's mid sentence.
In Vish's defense, he tried to do it fast, and then he's like, "No, it's not going to work."
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, it's there's like a list of like there's literally 10 videos of intros and outros in my thing here, and I had to like get to the menu, find the right one, and she just did it mid sentence too. It was like out of nowhere. It's like we're queuing the Sox outro. When did that happen? So there was a false start there.
Oof.
Yeah. Are we ready?
We're ready this time.
Wait, I don't know if I can do. Where can I put my phone? Will it stay so I can?
That's why you get a folding phone. You can flex it and it'll stand. I mean, you can just say it. You can just say it. You don't have to do the fingers. It's
cue the Sox outro.
Cue the Sox outro. Don't cry. Keep it chill. Wear good socks.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.